Welcome to Christian Community Center of Los Angeles, or as we love to call it, 3CLA, the Church for Truth Seekers. I am Pastor Tom Washington, and it is a blessing to be given the opportunity to share the word of truth with you. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about 3CLA and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at our website, 3CLA.org. We also encourage you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show yourself approved unto God, Yahweh, a workman needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom.
Thank you for being here, those not just those here in the sanctuary, but also those that are tuning in online on iChurch, streaming in Spanish and in English this morning. Hallelujah. I didn't take my Wheaties this morning. And that was a workout. There's something in store. Who believes that this morning? Cool. All right. So let's go to Acts, the first chapter. Actually, let's go to Romans. The eighth chapter. Sorry. Got ahead of myself. I'm loving the season that we're in. I told you guys that last week. Because we're counting. Say we're counting. Counting the days. Counting the days. I'll explain that in a minute. But when you count, what happens when you know something is coming and you're kind of like counting the days towards that thing happening? Because we talked about birthdays and, you know, yeah. Because people will tell you, my birthday is in 6 months, okay. And, well, they're in a what? They're in expectation, right? And so even in that expectation, what are we doing in expectation? We're getting ready, right? We're preparing. We're waiting. And that is a season, okay? And this is a season that we're in anticipation. What are we anticipating? Well, 50 days after Passover, we're counting the days, or counting down the days to Shavuot, which is Jubilee, which is, in the Greek, penta, meaning 50, cost. What happened 50 days? That was when the Holy Spirit fell on the earth, right? And so we understand, listen, we can't do the things that we do in the spirit realm without the Spirit. Right? And as a believer, you must have it. You have to have the water with the wet, right? You can't separate the water from the wet. So if you're talking about the spiritual things, you must have the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, if you don't have it, you're serving out of a mind, just out of your mind and how you feel about stuff, right? And so there's a lot of churches that are saying that you need the Holy Spirit. I'm here to tell you that the Word says that you need the Holy Spirit. Tell your neighbor, we need it. Not just you, we. We need it. So here in the Romans, the 8th chapter, and this is where we're connecting with our identity, because part of our identity is in the Holy Spirit. That's the seal. That's the stamp. That's the justification. That's the evidence, right? So here, Romans 8th chapter, 8th verse says, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please Yahweh. Now, who is in this to please Yahweh? See, I'm not in this to please you. Because if I was in this to please you, I'd be in bad shape. I tell you, I would be in Timbuktu somewhere. As far away as I could be. But I'm not here to please you. I'm not even here to tell you what you want to hear. No. I'm here to tell you what you need to hear. But sometimes what you need to hear ain't exactly what you want to hear. But we're in this to please Yahweh. That's it. I'm not in this to please Apostle. Though that's a fringe benefit. If I please Yahweh, then he better be pleased. Right? So this is what we're in it for. What are you in it for? Are you in it because it's fashionable? Or it's trendy? It's trendy to go to church on Sunday. Because if I didn't go to church on Sunday, I wouldn't have a reason to dress up. That's not me saying that. That's some of y'all. So I go to church, so, you know. You'll be surprised. In the church, they would call the front area the runway in some churches. Because some people would shout just to get to the front so you could see what they had on. Uh-uh. That's from a mind-serving point of view. We're in this to please Yahweh. And so the word says, if I'm positioned in a certain way, that I can't please him. And if I'm positioned in my flesh, I can't please him. If I'm serving him from my flesh, well, he should want that. I think that God should like what I'm doing. Some people say that. Well, you know, I'm being nice to people. People have a form of godliness. But the word says, but they deny the power. They think they're doing good stuff, but they're not operating in the power. And I'm here to tell you that you can't be in your flesh and pleasing him. And if you're in your flesh, you're not operating in the power. And so it says, so then that they are there in flesh cannot please Yahweh. But you are not in the flesh, but you are in. I think our neighbors need to be reminded. Tell your neighbor, we're in the spirit. We're in the spirit. That's where we are. That's where we're positioned. So in the spirit is the only way that you can please him. So is anybody pleasing him this morning? You're in the spirit, right? Okay. So if so be that the spirit of Yahweh dwells in you, now if any man have not the spirit of Mashiach, he is not of his. That means you're not legitimate. And we have a Greek word, weos. That means the true sons of God, the true sons of Yahweh. True. Because there's a lot of people that are saying, how many people know folks that say, I'm a Christian too? Our church too. Yeah. And they'll curse you. You say, well, I don't see it. And they'll curse you out. But that tells me that you're not operating in the spirit. You're operating from the mind. And so it says, now if any man have not the spirit of Mashiach, he is none of his. So that's a cold-blooded statement. But we serve a God that's of truth.
That's right.
And sometimes the truth can be cold-blooded. It can be. It hurts. So go to Ephesians. And so Shaul was trying to tell the church here in Ephesus what they should be expecting to be. And a lot of times we act like we don't know who we should be. I don't know what I should be doing. I don't know who I should be. The word tells you who we should be. And the word also tells us what we should be doing. And here in Ephesians, the first chapter. Now, I hope y'all didn't just come to hear somebody talking and no word is going forth. I'm not here to talk to you about what I want to talk to you about. I'm here to talk to you about the word what the word has for you, right? So you're not going to hear 45 minutes of me just flapping my gums about what I think. Or if I had wrote a book, I'm going to tell you what's in my book. I'm going to tell you what's in this book. I'm going to tell you what thus saith the word. And hopefully you came because you wanted to hear what was in this book. So Ephesians, where Shaul was talking to the church in Ephesus, believers just like you and me, and he was telling them the things that they needed to hear. So the first verse of that first chapter goes like this. Shaul, an apostle of Yeshua Mashiach by the will of God, Yahweh, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Mashiach Yeshua. Well, he was just talking to the church there in Ephesus. You see that part that says, and to the faithful in Mashiach Yeshua? That's you. So what he said to them 2,000 years ago or whatever, it applies to you right now. And so the second verse says, grace be unto you and peace from our God, Yahweh, our Father, not just his, but what? Ours. We're serving the same Father. And from the Lord Yeshua Mashiach, blessed be the God and Father of our, and when we say Lord Jesus Christ or Lord Yeshua Mashiach, that means the Lord is expressing his deity and his connection to Yahweh. There's a name for that, Yahushua. Yahushua Mashiach is showing his connection to Yahweh, though he is Yeshua Mashiach, but his connection to Yahweh, Yahushua Mashiach. So when you see Lord Yeshua Mashiach, that means Yahushua Mashiach, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Mashiach. Wow. Tell your neighbor, you blessed. In heavenly places. In him. This is about us. Fourth verse says, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy. I don't know how I'm supposed to be. Be holy. Well, what else? And without blame. Before him in love, fifth verse, having predestinated us into the adoption of children. See, maybe you didn't belong to him before. But when you came to him and was baptized in his name, you were adopted into the family. So technically, all of us are brothers and sisters. And we're in the family of Yeshua. Why y'all acting some kind of way towards your brothers and sisters? See, with the prophecy that went forth this morning, it's about love. The Holy Spirit is a spirit of love. Love is what connects us. See, and some of us are not demonstrating that one towards another. Are you loving your brother and sister? See, this is how I know. Sometimes y'all be sitting next to people that you don't necessarily know that well. And so when I say, tell your neighbor, y'all be like. So you're not going to say nothing to the neighbor? I'm going to step in for a second. Excuse me, camera people. Tell your brother and sister, or your sister, whoever you next to, we brothers and sisters in Yahweh. Tell them. Get in there, look at them in the eye. We brothers. You my sister. You my mother, but you my sister. See, there's a connection here. And we're not like taking advantage of this connection. We be out here feeling all lonely and stuff. Look around you. You got all this love up in here that's available to you. What are you tripping for? Nobody cares about me. Well, maybe if you just didn't hightail it out of here before service was over, maybe you get to know some of your kinfolk up in here. We're part of the same family. So he has predestined us by adoption. We've been adopted of children by Yeshua Mashiach to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Six verse. He wants to do this. He wants us to be in this family. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. So if we do what we're supposed to do, position ourselves where we need to position in the spirit, what? He's made us accepted. That means we're acceptable. That means if there's a position of being accepted, then there's an opposite position of being what? Unaccepted. I'm telling you right now, unaccepted is when you come in your own way. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to do it my way. Because I tell you, you know, sometimes I run into people. Oh, I don't go to church. I have my own. I have my own way. I have my own relationship with God. Well, he tells us, forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together. I just go to church on the beach, just me and him. People say that kind of stuff. There is power when we come together. There's power in unity. There's power in love. And I'm so blessed because I got all these brothers and sisters up in here that I can call on and that I can be a part of that can encourage me. I can hear your testimony. I can hear. And I'm encouraged by that. So he's made us accepted in the beloved. Seventh verse, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Well, I feel so unworthy. That's why I don't want it. People have told me this. Well, I feel like I've done some stuff wrong, so I don't want to come to church. We have redemption through his blood. Which means all you got to do is say, Father, I'm sorry. Accept me back. And he going just like, whoosh. He's ready. He's sitting there like this. Like, what's wrong with you? And we all up in our guilt and in our shame. And he's like, you ain't got to be like that. I paid the cost for you to be able to get redemption through the blood. Forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Meaning there is no end. It's rich. Tell your neighbor it's rich. I'm going to stop saying your neighbor. I'm going to say tell your brother and sister it's rich. Right? Eighth verse. Wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Nine. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has proposed in himself. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Mashiach, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. That means we have access to him here on earth. We have access in the heavenly places. We don't have to, listen, you don't have to wait until you go to heaven to get heavenly access. Come on. We have the ability to reach into the very throne room. All the things that we need dispatched. And so 10th verse, 11th verse, in whom also we have obtained. Who's entitled to an inheritance? Why are you entitled to an inheritance? Because we're in him. We're his children. Right? And we, listen, this is what usually happens in natural families. Y'all be fighting over the inheritance. That's mine. No, they said he won't give me that. And I hate that happens when people transition over and you got all these folks left behind fighting over stuff. If we got to fight over it, go on, take it. Because I serve a father who can provide for me whatever it is that I need. I don't need to fight over that. But guess what? We have an inheritance. Check this out. We ain't got to fight over it. It's enough for everybody to go around. Is anybody happy about the inheritance which is available? Being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. 12th verse, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Mashiach. 13, in whom ye also trusted after ye heard. Something happened when you heard about there was a Savior that died for your sins. Died on the cross. Buried. But miraculously rose again, transformed for you. So that you would have a way back to the Father. Right? And it happened when you heard that word. And when you heard that word, something started to manifest. Faith came by hearing. When you heard it, a helicopter, a spiritual helicopter, delivering faith. And you said, yes, I believe he died for my sins. And then something manifested in you. And then you went down in the waters of baptism. And some of y'all came up speaking in tongues. Some of y'all got this Holy Spirit before you even got baptized. You couldn't wait. It was working too powerful on you. Right? And so it says right here, you trusted in him when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after that you believed, you were sealed. After you believed, faith came. There was something, and you were what?
Sealed.
With that Holy Spirit of what?
Promise.
Somebody say his promises. So he promised. He promised it. See, I can't go around here thinking that I'm making the things happen to me happen to me. No, I'm trusting him. And he's the one that is manifesting and moving. See, he's the one that's working on my boss's mind when I'm not around. See, y'all got some situations. Maybe you feel like, oh, yeah, my boss is doing this. Have you asked the Holy Spirit to intervene? See, while you sleeping and you believe in God that your whatever is going on with your boss, those spirits is working through them to mess with you. Do you know that supernaturally while you sleep and while that boss is wherever they are, that Holy Spirit can go and mess with him? You know, my child that's working for you, leave her alone. The boss like, what? Where'd that come from? Does anybody believe in the supernatural? Does anybody believe that he's working stuff out in our favor? I believe that. And then when you get to work, the whole, how you doing, Susie Q? I got some coffee for you. He's working things out. But see, if you get nasty just because that spirit get nasty, then you in a whole different situation. But in all things, I trust him. And he promised me that whatever it is that I need, but I need to be sealed. Unrestricted access. Well, I know unsaved people that they don't have it and they doing stuff. Bro, have you guys ever heard of a pass or a security clearance? And it got certain levels? That person that don't have the spirit, they can only go to level one. They may get 3% of what they want through. But a person that got the Holy Ghost? Ever heard of unlimited access? Tell your neighbor it's unlimited. It's unlimited. See, you're not seeing what's happening in the spiritual realm. They can only get to, well, maybe level one. But you can go all the way up to the top, baby. You said that. You can go all the way up to the top. That's the access that you have. This is what I'm saying. Your identity is in the Holy Spirit. You must have the seal that the Holy Spirit of promise is working and activated in you. We must have it. Just tell yourself, I must have it. Acts, first verse. Acts, the first chapter. Second verse. And I touched on this last week, but I really need to get this to you. Acts 1, first verse, second chapter, first chapter, second verse. Until, you see that? Until that day which he has taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost, he being Yeshua, after he had been raised from the dead and resurrected, by the Holy Ghost, he was still walking around with his disciples for 40 days after resurrection. How did he do that? By the Holy Ghost. The power. Had given commandments unto his apostles who he had chosen, to whom he showed himself alive after the passion of many infallible proofs, being even seen by them by 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of Yahweh. They were in a room. Mashiach appeared through the wall. Yeshua appeared. Showing himself to them. Then he was gone for a period. And then they were like, Thomas wasn't there. This is my question. Where was Thomas? That's what's happening to some of y'all. You're not in the room when he's appearing. You're not present when he's moving and doing something. And then afterwards, people got to tell you, woo, guess what happened? Yeshua came through the wall that in his glorified state. Thomas said, I don't believe it. Hold up. That's where you get the stigma of doubting Thomas. He didn't believe. And he said, I ain't gonna believe it till I put my hand in his side and in his finger. Tell your neighbor that's not faith. So we gotta believe in stuff that we haven't seen.
That's right.
Come on now.
That's right.
See, what you're believing you have before, when we were talking earlier in the song, we was like, yeah, I'm going to wait. But some of y'all don't want to wait. Because you don't see it. Right? But that's not how faith works. Faith is when we believe in something that we have what? Because the things that we've seen are temporal, the word says. And they're subject to what? Change. But the things that are unseen are what? Eternal. And so here, we're going here. And he says, fourth verse, and having been assembled together with them, commanded that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith, he hath heard of me. For John, Yohanan, truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, without this time restore again the kingdom of Israel. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. But know this, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria. And I told you guys last week, in Inglewood and in Long Beach and in Compton and all those different places. And into the uttermost parts of the earth. Right? And so he's saying that is available if we what? Say it. Wait. He said, wait for the promise. How many of you has Biava said he was going to do something? That's a promise. And the word says he that gave the promise is faithful. He that promised is faithful. And so you wait for the promise. So he told them, don't do nothing. Go here. Because I'm setting you up for what we are moving towards in this season. Yohanan, John, the third chapter. John 3. And the first verse. And there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Yeshua by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from Yahweh, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except Yahweh be with thee. So Nicodemus is seen and heard about the healings and the things that the miracles that took place. And so he says, there's something about him. And they could not be done unless Yahweh, God, is with them. And then their verse says what? And Yeshua answered and says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see. He can't see the kingdom of Yahweh. But not just seeing heaven when you get there. He can't see the spirit realm. He can't understand what is happening by way of the power of the Holy Ghost. You have to be born again totally to be able to see the work of Yahweh. Right? I mean, you can see some stuff, but you can't see how the kingdom is moving and operating. You can't fathom it. And fourth verse says what? Nicodemus said unto him, again, do you see how this is showing the contrast between the spirit realm and the flesh? Nicodemus is coming from a fleshly point of view. He's coming from a mind point of view. He can't understand. Why? Because Nicodemus is thing in his mind. And so this is how he comes to Yeshua. Well, how can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's? Now, ain't that sounds like some stupid. I mean, how can I be born again? He's looking at it from a totally natural point of view. Not by not being born again and not having the spirit of Yahweh moving and operating in his life, he cannot fathom the spiritual things. And see, you guys, as believers, you got to be able to fathom the spiritual things. We are not here for a natural experience. We're spiritual beings now. We're here for a spiritual purpose. And we don't operate just off of natural stuff. So that's a problem with you. That's why y'all not excelling and getting nowhere. Because you doing it from a natural point of view. Oh, but if you would just get in the spirit. And if you allow the Holy Ghost to move and operate on your behalf. There's some stuff that can happen. There's some stuff that he can do. Because even right now, you're facing a situation. Well, I don't understand. I don't see how he can. I don't know how it's possible. Bible study this past Wednesday. Apostle said, I'm making a statement right now to you saints. Because, you know, we got a debt here at the church, you know, paying off a building or whatever. He was like, I'm believing Yahweh that I'm going to get those $1 million or $2 million to be able to pay off this debt on this property. I'm believing Yahweh. He's going to give it to me and I'm going to pay it off. And even if he just give me just the amount of money to do that, I'm believing that. Somebody said, but how he going to get? Y'all got some dreams and some visions and some things. See, y'all, I'm gonna be a millionaire. Okay, I ain't got no problem with millionaires or millionairesses. But you better plug yourself into the supernatural, because if it's gonna happen in a certain way, you better hope. I believe that he is able to do that. I mean, is anybody with? You wanna own your own business. I'm for that. Because if he told us that we should be lenders and not borrowers, why am I renting every week? Why am I giving my money to a landlord? I should be the landlord as a believer. I mean, does anybody believe that? If I'm supposed to be the lender and not a borrower, that means the people are supposed to be coming to me. Now, you know. You know, I don't have a problem with people, you know, coming and asking for money. I really want to be in a position where they don't even have to pay it back. Ooh, because some of y'all don't pay it back anyway. So when I lend somebody something, I just give it. And if you get it back, bless me with it. But if he's saying that these things are available to us in heavenly places, and it's not for me to be a show off and have a 100-room mansion. I just want to help somebody. Father, if you can give me an apartment building where I help like 10 to 20 families that, you know, that are hard on, you know, on their luck and temporarily they need some housing, I believe that you can provide that apartment building to me, and you can manifest it and you can do some stuff so that I can help people in your kingdom and I can help expand your kingdom and do more stuff. But you got to plug into the supernatural realm. I don't know how that stuff can happen. But I believe somebody can walk up to me and say, here, I want to help you. Here's $100,000 as a deposit for you to help. Come on, y'all got to believe that's possible. I don't have to work on an oil rig in Alaska to save up the money to do it. He is able to have some stranger come walk up to me and just say, I don't know why I'm doing this, but here it goes. So you want to do some stuff, you want to be a boss, then believe like a boss.
That's right.
Who want to be a boss up in here? I mean, wait, what? Who is satisfied just being an employee? I just, you know, I don't need to do nothing. I just want to be an employee. Okay. Who believes that they're boss material? He said it. Then you need to connect to the supernatural realm. So Nicodemus had no concept, because we'd be looking, how is this stuff going to be possible? Some of the stuff that y'all believe in y'all by for ain't possible in the natural realm. You better plug into the spirit, because the spirit is the only way you're going to get it. Somebody drop $1 million on you and say, here, that's supernatural. Man, I didn't have to do nothing to get this. That's right, because he's able. That's right, because he's able. My God can do whatever. My God can move people's hearts. My God can give people suggestions and say, hey, you know what? I see you working hard over here. See, y'all better, you see, you better get into the spirit realm, because listen, if you get into the spirit realm, people can see and say, you seem like such a good person. Here you go. I know somebody that was working on a job. True story. And they was kind of struggling, and but the, you know, they were believing Yahweh for stuff. And the boss is like, here goes $50,000. Here you go. Take it and buy a house. Do whatever you need to do with it. Somebody said, whose boss is that? But they couldn't believe it. They was like, what? I mean, you just giving this to me? He was like, it's yours. Take it. They bought a house. They bought a car. Was able to provide for their kids. But they had been praying that. Come on. They had been praying that. And it was a manifestation. And they believed while they were praying that. And guess what? It just came out of nowhere. Y'all better get in the spirit, because I'm going to hear some testimonies of some supernatural stuff like that happen. Here goes the car. You can just have it. Are you serious? Somebody's riding a bike right now. If you trust Yahweh, somebody will give you a car. I only hear mothers clapping, but I believe he's able. If you're not born again, you can't fathom it. I have to be able to look beyond the natural realm. So this dude, Nicodemus, like, do you enter into his mother's womb and be born? Fifth verse. And he said in the fifth verse, Yeshua answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water. Water and. When I was baptized, that's not enough. Water and. He didn't say water or. Water and. He must be born of the water and of the Spirit. Because if he doesn't, he or she cannot enter into the kingdom of Yahweh. They can't understand that spiritual realm. Sixth verse. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that mindset. But that which is born of the Spirit is what? Spirit. Seventh verse. I love this. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must. Not I suggest, or it would be nice if. No, you must be born again. And born again is a two-phased experience of the water and of the Spirit. That is not me trying to make some doctrine. That's what Yeshua told him. He told him that you have to have both components. You have to be able to be baptized. And Yeshua was still on the scene here, but he was setting them up. Like, I'm giving you some knowledge that when I'm gone, you better operate in it. That's right. You must be born of the water and what? The Spirit. Of the Spirit, both. So go here. I'm a bunny hop over the day of Pentecost and stuff. Ooh, because we're gonna build up to that. But what I want to show you, the necessity. Go here to Acts, the 18th chapter. And we're going to go to the 19th chapter. And go to the first verse. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, or Shaul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain believers there, disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost . There is a belief out there that says, oh, if I just Believe, that means I automatically have the Holy Ghost. No. Believing is believing. But receiving is receiving. Oh, come on, apostle. Believing is believing. But receiving is receiving. It's a totally different thing. So there are a bunch of believers running around here thinking that they have the Holy Spirit just because they believe. But there's no evidence. I go to church, so I automatically have the Holy Spirit. Absolutely not. Who told you that? It's not in there. So when we go here to Acts 19 chapter, he's like, listen, I'm not brother, sister. I love you. I'm not tripping. I love the fact that you believe. Hallelujah. Believing is a very important component. But it is not the end all be all. I'm glad you believe. And he was saying, Shaul was saying to them, hey, it's cool that you believe. I love it. You guys are believers. You here and you serving him the best y'all can. God bless your hearts. But I'm here to tell you that there's a more excellent way. I mean, y'all here having church and you're trying to do some stuff. You know, and I'll applaud you for that. But I need to show you a more excellent way. See, y'all got something, but you ain't got it all yet. I'm about to share something with you that's about to blow your mind. So this totally defeats the idea that I automatically have it when I believe. No, baby girl, no brother man. He says, have you received the Holy Ghost since? See, believing was one operation. Now, since you've done that, have you received the Holy Ghost? And they said unto him, whoa, what you talking about? We have not so much as, but they were having church. Are y'all with me? They had a form of godliness, but they weren't operating in the power. So there's a lot of people that, oh, yes, I'm saved. I said, oh, yes, I'm saved. Are you baptized? Filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, I'm saved. I believe. And the word says, when I believe, I have this. Who? No. No. Don't say that. Because otherwise, why would he say, have you received the Spirit since? So here these people are gathering together, you know, thinking that they're serving God to the max. But they weren't. They were missing. So they could only go level one. They could only get so high. See, that's the problem. If y'all just be obedient, let him take you all the way to the top. Advance all the way to the top of the levels. To receive. Say believe. And say receive. Two different things. I believe that he's able. And I believe that I can now receive. So they said they ain't heard no Holy Ghost. Third verse. And so he said in the third verse, and he said unto them, what were you baptized? And they said, unto John's, Johannes. Baptism. So Johanna was out there baptizing, but even Johanna himself. We'll look at the fourth verse. Say the fourth verse. Then says Shaul, John, bless his heart, verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after. See, he was just setting them up for what was to come. Because he said, that is on Mashiach, what? Yeshua. So he was like, I'm going to baptize you, but bro, there's going to be somebody greater coming. Come on. And when he comes and does what he's going to do, you need to get baptized in his name. Fifth verse. When they heard this, okay, Holy Ghost, okay, I'm going to say this. Go back to the fourth verse. They were already baptized. And many have said this. And Holy Spirit's going to say this today, I don't know why. This particular time. When I found out his name was Yeshua, I was already baptized in Jesus' name. And somebody says, it'll make no difference, because that's what I said. See, there was a bunch of people at this church years ago, 1999, 2000. And when Apostle had brought the name of Yeshua, and people was like, well, Apostle, if you were baptized, if his name is Yeshua and we were baptized in the name of Jesus, then I want you to baptize me in the name of Yeshua.
That's right.
And Apostle said, well, I can't do that. And they said, why? He said, because I'm not baptized in the name of Yeshua. I'm saying this to say, I rejected it, because there's a lot of people that reject that. Because I was like, Jesus. My father, who is a pastor of church, is coming and he's telling me that Jesus is not Jesus? And everybody, so then he got a pastor to baptize, they baptized each other.
That's right.
In Yeshua's name. And then Apostle said, I'm back. Okay, he said, anybody who want it, because now that you've come to this understanding, something supernatural can happen now in your belief system, because you were baptized unto that baptism where you weren't completely knowledgeable. But now he said there's one coming and his name has always been Yeshua. But somewhere along the line in 1611, we got caught up with a different name because they changed it. So his idea was like, hey, I want to do it the right way. But yet I was still, Jesus. So he went and got baptized, and people were running to get baptized in Yeshua's name. They say, you baptized yet? I said, I'm baptized already. I was baptized in Jesus. Name, 1978. No, 1975.
Okay.
I'm baptized in Jesus' name. And the Holy Spirit was working on me. And we was having mass baptism. People was like, I want to be baptized in the right name. Because there's power in that revelation of knowing his name. And even in the scripture, the correct scripture says, yeah, you were baptized in John's baptism, but he was saying that he baptized into the baptism of repentance. But there's one coming that is greater than me, and his name and the original text said Yeshua. And my flesh fought it, because I was like, that's all I know. It's Jesus. That's all I ever knew. Monsters would come into my sleep and I would say Jesus and the monsters would leave. Because that's what I believed in. That's what I was taught. But the revelation of who his name was provided me with an opportunity to be baptized in a more excellent way, the way that it was supposed to be from the very beginning. From the beginning, I was supposed to be baptized in Yeshua's name. But I fought it. But then the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit was chipping away at me. And people would say, I got baptized. And I was like, whatever. I'm being very transparent with you because I don't believe in doing stuff just because the masses are doing it. I have to have the Holy Spirit move on me and speak to me, mend my relationship. I can't do it just because you was doing it. I'm not trying to follow after you. So one day he said, Holy Spirit, you know, again, I was being salty. I have been salty for 18 months. I don't know why y'all doing woo. Some of y'all still not baptizing Yeshua's name. I said, So he said, Tom, just go look in the dictionary. I said, okay. Merriam-Webster Dictionary. In those days, it was a book. I mean, y'all go online now, but then I wasn't into all that online stuff. I don't even think Google was even in existence. People was Netscaping back then. If I remember Netscape and Hotmail, America Online, you've got mail. He said, look up Jesus. And I looked up Jesus, and it said, from the Hebrew, it traced it to the original, from the Hebrew Yeshua. And I was like, if Merriam-Webster ain't trying to, she not trying to save nobody. She, that's stupid. I just thought that Merriam-Webster was a woman. But it's two different last names. But at the time, I was like, That was my understanding at the time. She's not trying to save nobody. She's just trying to get to the truth. And my heart was convicted then. See, my heart was, you know, I wouldn't let my heart be convicted before because it was salty. But he was like, see? And then Mel Gibson, not too long after that, came out with the movie Passion of the Christ. And in Passion of the Christ, they were calling the name Yeshua. And so I was like, I told Apostle, okay. I said, I'm ready to be baptized in Yeshua's name. And what a day that was for me. It was an opportunity for me to just... Have you ever just wanted to do something all over again? You just wanted a fresh start? You wanted to hit the reset button? For me, that's what that was. It's just like everything that I had gone through and all of this stuff just booming out. And I was what? 30-something years old, 30 years old. And I hit that reset button. And ever since that time, I've been on cloud 9. Well, really, 11, 12, 13. I'm saying that to say, when the Holy Spirit presented a more excellent way to them, they responded. They moved on it. They didn't fight. Once they told them that, he says that when they heard this, faith came. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of Yeshua. And go to the sixth verse. And when Paul, after they were baptized in Yeshua's name, Paul laid his hands upon them. And the Holy Ghost came on them. And they spake in tongues. And they prophesied. With the evidence of the speaking in tongues. The power. I'm trying to encourage you guys today. You want it all. I want it all. And I want it right. Who wants it all and who wants it right? Hallelujah. And you know what? My intentions was to talk about the Holy Ghost. But the Holy Spirit said, there's somebody that even needs to hear about the more perfect water baptism that is available in his name. Bow your head. Father Yahweh, thank you for knowledge. Thank you for the truth. Thank you for what you have been showing and presenting to us, Father. We want to be on another level. But for us to be on another level, we have to be obedient. You have to seek your word. You have to receive. It's great that we believe, but you say we have to receive. So when those saints at Ephesus, those disciples heard that there was a more excellent way, they received it. Although they had already been baptized. That says a lot about receiving. Father Yahweh, give us a heart to receive all the things of you. Not just some things, Father, but everything that you have available for us. We're opening up, Father. Believe. And in that belief, we want to receive. So minister to each and every one of us the importance of being who we are supposed to be in your kingdom. And if there are things that we're lacking in, Father, speak to us. Even in my situation where you spoke to me of a more excellent way so that I may receive, Father. There are others that are seeking a more excellent way so that they can receive. So right now, in the mighty name of Yeshua, speak, lead, guide, teach. You receive it right now. In Yeshua's mighty name, we pray. Amen. Keep your head bowed. I just want to present this opportunity.